to do, to hear from my customer, wasn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
It must be a part of the
No, I'll be presenting by myself this morning, sir. I have some copies of the summary of the evidence that I'll read out. For those members of the panel that I haven't appeared before previously, my name is Sean Dent. I'm a resource management planning consultant and director of Southern Planning Group, and I'm here today presenting expert planning evidence on behalf of Mount Crystal Limited. My brief of evidence dated 9th of June 2017 supported the rezoning of the subject site from low density residential zone to the high density residential zone and was supported by infrastructure and servicing evidence provided by Mr. McCartney. Since Mount Crystal Limited's expert evidence was submitted, the submitter has considered the Council's position as outlined in briefs of evidence in chief and rebuttal evidence filed by Ms. Devlin, Ms. Banks, Mr. Glasner and Mr. Watts. The ultimate position of Mount Crystal Limited following this consideration is that they accept the recommendations of the Council's experts to rezone the entire site to medium density residential zone. It is for this reason that I am now appearing without legal counsel or Mr. McCartney. While I originally provided evidence that supported rezoning of the site to high density residential zone, I am of the opinion that a rezoning outcome that results in the entire site becoming part of the medium density residential zone is an efficient and effective planning solution. Specifically, I relied on expert evidence of Mr. Glasner and Mr. McCartney, which confirms there are no insurmountable issues with respect to infrastructure servicing of the subject site if it were developed at a medium density residential zone density. Similarly, I've relied on the evidence of Ms. Banks that the transportation effects of developing the site to medium density residential zone density are insignificant. And I note that NZTA will also become involved in any change in use or increase in scale, nature and intensity of the existing vehicle crossing. Further, this will remain a matter of Council's discretion pursuant to medium density residential zone rule 8.4.11.2 for the establishment of four or more residential units on the subject site. In addition, the geotechnical experts for the Council and Mount Crystal Limited agree that the site is suitable for development at a medium density residential zone density, subject to more detailed geotechnical assessment. This too remains a matter of Council's discretion pursuant to medium density residential zone rule 8.4.11.2 for the establishment of four or more residential units on the subject site. Ms. Devlin for the Council has considered all of the evidence from the above mentioned experts and concluded that applying the medium density residential zone to the subject site would be an appropriate outcome. The opinions I provided in paragraphs 55 to 64 of my evidence in chief regarding the proposed district plan's approach to maintaining a low density residential zone characteristic on a site which is surrounded by existing medium and high density unit development remain valid. Rezoning the site to medium density residential zone will therefore not be inconsistent with the development characteristics of the wider area despite the moderate potential increase in residential density. My opinion is that accepting and applying the medium density residential zone to the subject site as opposed to the high density residential zone still accords with the strategic direction of the proposed district plan to facilitate high density living near public transport routes, efficient and sustainable use of infrastructure and servicing, and providing mixed densities of housing in existing and new urban communities. The medium density residential zone will also maintain a high quality built environment in accordance with Goal 3.2.3 and Objective 3.2.3.1 by requiring thorough assessment of the urban design of multi-unit developments through medium density residential zone rule 8.4.11.2 and the guiding objectives and policies of the medium density residential zone. In regards to the opposition of any upzoning of the site by the Queenstown Airport Corporation, I maintain the opinions outlined in paragraphs 101 to 109 of my evidence in chief, and agree with the council's legal submissions presented by Ms. Scott at paragraphs 12.3 to 12.5. In regards to the assertion by Ms. Wolf for QAC that the QAC submission is not disenabling because the land has never been available for development at the density sought by the submitter, I note that the site is capable of being developed as a comprehensive residential development under the operative district plan, albeit as a discretionary activity consent, with density allowable down to one unit per 200 square metres of net area. No similar rule is afforded in the proposed district plan's low density residential zone, and therefore a medium density residential zone, if applied over the subject site, will maintain a similar development potential which exists under the operative district plan. As such, the QAC submission against the subject site is, in my opinion, disenabling. I also note that other comprehensive residential developments I've been involved in within the vicinity of the subject site have not required QAC written approval due to more intensive urban development. In summary, rezoning of the site to medium density residential zone is not inconsistent with the existing residential character and amenity of the land either side of the Mount Crystal Limited site. The site can be appropriately serviced at this density, and the matters of transportation and natural hazards are acceptable, and council will retain discretion over such factors in the future development of the subject site. Medium density residential zone will therefore accord with the higher order provisions of the proposed district plan's strategic directions and urban development chapters, higher order statutory documents, and the purpose and principles of the RMA.
Any questions?
Yes, just to recap, so I know what the yield will be. If the entire site is zoned medium density residential, do you agree with Ms. Devlin's calculations about what the yield would be?
I do.
I think she identified something. My notes say, is that 1.27 hectares of the land would be feasible, because you have to exclude the natural hazard area, and then within there, how many lots? I just want a rough idea of what's going to be achieved.
Yes, so my understanding based on the geotechnical assessment today is, you're correct, it'd be approximately 1.27 hectares of land that is potentially developable, and using the council's development yield assumption from Ms. Banks' strategic set of evidence, my calculation was that you could get approximately 34 residential units within medium density residential zone, and comparably 75 was high density residential zone using the council's same yield calculation.
So I might be a bit confused, but again, I had thought Ms. Devlin was saying that MDR would yield 15 additional lots. You're talking units, though.
Units or lots. The council's development yield calculation is based on the minimum allotment size for subdivision, which is 250 square metres, and that's my understanding. The potential density of the land use zone would also be one unit per 250 square metres.
Just that I know. That was all, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
In doing the calculation of density, do you exclude the unusual area first, or do you exclude the unusual area afterwards?
In my calculation, I excluded it first. Basically relying on the expert assessment by GeoSol that there is a large proportion of the site that will be undevelopable, albeit I accept the recommendations that further detailed assessment is required. Mm-hmm. And based on the advice today, I've simply excluded it in my calculation.
Thank you. hear all these things.